The passage we're going to read now is the polar opposite in terms of the status of the people involved when they met Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a wealthy man. He was well respected. We're going to read from Luke chapter 17 now, and verse 11 to 19. And we're going to be looking about 10 lepers. Okay, absolute opposite ends of the spectrum in their society. So let's read, if you've got a Bible, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Or in fact, the word that's used there, "Your faith has saved you." So, have you ever noticed Jesus is always walking? Okay. The Gospels are full of movement. I mean, we've got to do 10,000 steps a day, have we, or something like that? I don't know, it's a bit of a, which is all just a made-up number, actually, by the way. But Jesus walks along dusty roads. He walks through villages and towns. He walks beside lakes and through crowds. He walks into people's homes. And ultimately, he walks towards Jerusalem. But there's something striking about the way that Jesus walks. He never seems to hurry. Okay? He's never flustered. He's never anxious. He's never late. He walks with purpose. And perhaps that's because Jesus knows that every step that he takes is part of the Father's purpose. So Luke begins his story in exactly that way. It goes, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Before Luke tells us even anything about 10 lepers, he wants us to notice Jesus because this story is not really about lepers. It's a story about the kind of saviour that Jesus is. Okay, that's Nicodemus understood that. It took him a while to get to that point, but he understood who Jesus was in the end. Okay, so that's what this is about. It's about what is Jesus like. Jesus is travelling towards Jerusalem. He's walking towards the cross. He's walking towards suffering and rejection, towards the place where God's saving love will be revealed. Yet even with this great destination before him, Jesus never becomes so focused on where he is going that he fails to notice people along the way. And you'll see that in many times in the gospel. Think about Jairus's daughter, who's basically ill, and Jesus stops to heal a woman who's hemorrhaging, and Jairus is in panic mode. Why are you dealing with that? My daughter's dying. Anyway, so Jesus never not sees anybody. And that tells us something wonderful about Jesus. Jesus is always moving towards people. Luke also tells us where Jesus is walking. Before we even get to the lepers, he's walking along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, borders are interesting places. We have a lot of stuff on the news about borders, about leaky borders. And all sorts of stuff. They are places in between. They are places where people don't quite belong. And that is where we find these 10 men. They are not in the centre of things. They are on the edge. Leprosy is a terrible disease. And it takes these men to the margins of their life. They are away from their family. They are away from their community. They are away from worship. They are away from normal human contact because they are deemed unclean, because leprosy is so contagious. And Luke tells us uses his words, they stood at a distance. Not because they wanted to, because life had placed them there. Perhaps that image speaks to us more than we first realise. Most of us will never experience what those men experienced, okay? But many people know what it feels like to be at a distance. It could be we're distanced because of illness. We are distanced because of grief or loss. We feel distanced because of regret. We feel distanced because the circumstances of our life have changed in ways that we never expected. And sometimes we even feel distant from God. Yet the wonderful truth of the gospel is this, that Jesus does not wait for people who are at distance to find their way to him. He comes towards them. Isn't that the heart of the Christian story? God doesn't remain distant. In Jesus, God comes near. In August, surely that's the heart of the Christmas story. Jesus became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus came to us. The 10 men cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They don't ask for an explanation of why their life is like this. They don't ask for a sign. They don't ask specifically for healing. They simply ask for mercy. And Jesus responds, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." A simple instruction. Now, the context of that is, if you had a skin disease, you had to go, and you thought you'd been healed, or you had to have it assessed, you had to go to the priest. If you want some interesting reading, read Leviticus 13 and 14. It's all laid out there. So Jesus knows that. He's not bucking the system here. He's saying, go to the priest. So it's not dramatic movement by Jesus. There's no visible change taking place yet. There's no immediate evidence that anything has happened. Jesus just says, go. Go. So imagine being one of those men. The leprosy hasn't changed. He said go, but nothing's changed. Their circumstances haven't changed. They're still outcasts from their society. But Jesus simply asks them to begin walking again. And then Luke gives us three wonderful words. As they went. As they went, they were cleansed. They weren't cleansed before they trusted. They were not cleansed after they trusted. They were cleansed as they went, on the way. And in a way, those three words speak into our lives as well, don't they? Because we often want God to show us everything before we take the next step. Julie and I often have a conversation about sat-nav. Julia likes the big picture. She wants to see, we start in there and we go in there. And I found out on Google there's a little button that lets you do that. But generally on sat-nav, you don't see the final destination. You just see the next step as you go through. Turn left here, turn right here. You're not seeing the destination. And so sometimes we're like that in our faith. We want some certainty before we have faith. We need to know the destination before we begin the journey. But so often Jesus works differently, doesn't he? He gives us enough light for the next step. He calls us to trust him. And then as we walk with him, we discover that it's been working all along. The healing came as they went on that journey. Then the story changes. 9 men continue towards the priests. 1 man stops. 1 man turns. And 1 man comes back. Verse 18. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, you need to understand, the Samaritan Jews didn't get on, okay? So that's a little interesting point, that is. Jesus was a Jew, and there was a really very anti each other. So that's important. But Luke slows the story right down because he wants us to notice this man. Can you imagine the moment as he went, the man looks at his hands. It's all healing. It's going. The skin disease is disappearing. Perhaps he realised then what's happened. The others run on ahead, heading for home. But he turns and changes because of the change that's occurred. So the man who cried out for mercy is now crying out in praise with a loud voice. The man who stood at a distance now comes close. And the man who had been excluded now falls at the feet of Jesus. Amazing transformation. Do you see the movement that's taking place here? It's the same with Nicodemus. He comes at night in the dark and he's transformed. He shows himself in the light because he's come to recognize who Jesus is. That's the movement in his life. The movement in this man's life is completely changed. He comes now with gratitude and worship at the feet of Jesus. Jesus then asks the question, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now, we might take that as a bit of a rebuke, and you kind of can read it like that. Is Jesus saying, where are these ungrateful men? I think there's something deeper going on here. Perhaps Jesus is not simply asking, why did they fail to say thank you? Because we need to say thank you to God for things in our lives. But perhaps he's asking, why did they stop at the gift and not return to the giver? Okay. Why did they stop at the gift and not return to the giver? Because the miracle was never the final destination here. Jesus was. Okay. That was the whole point of this. And that's what Luke is showing here. He's showing this is the kind of saviour Jesus is. He comes towards you. He meets you in your need. He's the greatest thing. The healing was wonderful, but the one who healed was greater. And the Samaritan, who is also an outcast because of his nationality, discovered something the others missed. He received more than a restored body. He found a restored relationship. That is the kind of saviour Jesus is. Jesus then says to him, rise and go. Your faith has saved you. Not simply your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Now, all 10 experienced the miracle. So the 9 went back to the priest and he goes, yeah, you're good, lads. You can come back into society. But only one of them experienced the saviour. So, what does this story leave us with? Where are we in the journey? Are we standing at a distance, carrying things that make us feel separated from God or from others? Are we walking, trusting Jesus one step at a time, even when we can't see the outcome? Or are we discovering, like the Samaritan, that the greatest gift Jesus gives is not simply an answer to our prayers, but it's Jesus himself? Now, Topi was reminded us earlier about Nicodemus, a man who came to Jesus with questions. He came at night, searching for understanding. Here we meet 10 people who come with nothing but their need. Yet both encounters lead us to the same place because Jesus meets people where they are. He meets the searching and the suffering. He meets the confident and the broken. He meets those who come with questions and those who can only cry, have mercy. And when people truly encounter Jesus, they are never left unchanged. The story begins with Jesus walking towards people who were forgotten, walking towards people who were on the margins, walking towards people who needed mercy. And it ends with one person discovering that the journey has brought him exactly where he needed to be, at the feet of Jesus. Perhaps that's an invitation for us this morning, not simply to receive what Jesus gives, but to come close to the one who gave himself for us. Amen.